Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribada Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribada Dhari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jai Rana Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Rana Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Parivajakacharya, Asakara, Sakashi, Shimana, Savan Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti, Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Shri Kahol, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nitya Ananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadeva Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Shama Sundar, Gopa Gopinath, Shama Kund, Radha Kund, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Varantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the unassembled devotees. Hare Krishna. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, on chapter 60. And for sure, by now, you all know the title of this chapter. Krishna teases Rukmini, he does. And today, the Lord is going to speak now again. Rukmini's been speaking, rebuking the Lord's teasing of her, the Lord's statements, and today, text will do 49, 50, and 51, and the Lord's going to speak. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tato jayam udirayat. Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu. Nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavati uttamashloke. Bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator, by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees. All that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental song, is established as an irrevocable fact. Today's text 49, we can chant 49 together in unison. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Sadve Tachtro Tukamais Tvam Rajaputri Pralambita Mayo Ditam Yat Avata Sarvam Tat Satyam Evahi. I'm going to read the word for words because they have importance in there. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Lord said, Sadvi, O saintly lady, etat this shrotu to hear, kamai, by us who wanted, tvam you, Rajaputri, O princess, pralambita, fooled. When I read that before, I was wondering, Sanskrit, every little letter has a meaning, but I wonder if Pralambasura was a foolish demon then. Okay, maya, by me, uditam spoken, yat what, anvata, you replied to, sarvam, all, tat, that, satyam, correct, evahi, indeed. Translation, the Supreme Lord said, O saintly lady, O princess, we deceived you only because we wanted to hear you speak like this. Indeed, everything you said in reply to my words is most certainly true. Text 50, we can do together also. Yan yan kama yase kaman mayi akamya bamini shanti yet kanta bhaktayas tava kalyani nityada. Again, the word for words. Yan yan, whatever. Kamayase, you hanker for. Kaman, benedictions. Mayi, to me, akamaya, for freedom from desire. Bhamani, O fair one. Santi, they are. He, indeed. Eka anta, exclusively. Bhaktaya, who is devoted. Tava, for you. Kalyani, O auspicious one. Nityada, always. Translation by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Whatever benedictions you hope for in order to become free from material desires are ever yours, O fair and noble lady, for you are my unalloyed devotee. And 51 we can do responsibly. Upalambam pati prema. Upalambam pati prema. Pati ratyam chateng nagai. Okay. Pati ratyam tateng nagai. Yad vaktais cha lamanaya. Yad vaktais cha lamanaya. Nadir maya parakshita. Nadir maya parakshita. Upalambyam pati prema. Pati ratyam chate nage. Yad vaktyais chalamanayam. Nadir maya parakshita. Upalabdhyam pati prema. Pati ratyam chate nage. Yad vaktais chalyamanaya. Nadir maya prakashita. Upalabdham pati prema. Upalabdham pati prema. Ladies. Upalabdham pati prena. Pativrajyam chate nage. Yadvakya is chalyamanaya. Yadir maya prakarshita. Upalabdham pati prema. Pratiratyam chatenage. Yadvakya ischalyamanaya. Nadir maya prakarshita. Upalabdham. Perceived. Pati. For one's husband. Prema. Pure love. Pati. Towards one's husband. Ratyam, adherence to vows of chastity. Cha, and te, your. Anage, O sinless one. Yat, inasmuch as. Vakyai, with words. Chalyamanaya, being disturbed. Na, not. Di, your mind. Mayi, attached to me. Apakarshita, dragged away. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. O sinless one, I have now seen firsthand the pure love and chaste attachment you have for your husband. Even though shaken by my words, your mind could not be pulled away from me. So let's repeat that. O sinless one, I have now seen firsthand the pure love and chaste attachment you have for your husband. Even though shaken by my words, your mind could not be pulled away from me. Purport is, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti quotes the following verse describing pure love between Krishna and Rukmini and Krishna. Excuse me. One chant together. Sarvata dvamsa ratitam satyapi dvamsa karane yad bhava bandhanam yuno saprema prakritir titaha. The translation to that is, when the affectionate bond between a young man and a young woman can never be destroyed, even when there is every cause for the destruction of that relationship, the attachment between them is said to be pure love. This is the nature of the eternal loving affairs between Lord Krishna and his pure conjugal associates. Omagina chimidandasya jananjana salakaya chaksur umilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I'm eternally indebted to him and beg for his service. Hare Krishna. So here, let's read these verses again, the three of them together. The Supreme Lord, now he's replying to Rukmini's statements, and he's saying, the Supreme Lord said, O saintly lady, O princess, we deceived you only because we wanted to hear you speak like this. Indeed, everything you said in reply to my words is most certainly true. Whatever benedictions you hope for in order to become free of material desires are ever yours, O fair and noble lady. For you are my unalloyed devotee. O sinless one, I have now seen firsthand the pure love and chaste attachment you have for your husband. Even though shaken by my words, your mind could not be pulled away from me. So I thought I would like to read from Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada's, how Srila Prabhupada so chastely stuck with these verses when he writes, in what we think is prose, but actually he continues to just follow along practically exactly the words in the verses, and increases it a little bit. He adds a little bit here and there just to further clarify the points made, and you'll find that they do shed a little bit of light, especially on that second verse where he says, whatever material desire you might want will certainly be fulfilled by me. So here's what Prabhupada says. This is just the excerpt of pretty much these three verses in talks between Krishna and Rukmini in Krishna book. At one point when I was reading the Bhagavatam, this was a couple of years ago, I was reading the Bhagavatam and I was simultaneously reading Krishna book. And it's actually quite delightful to do it like that, to read the verses and to see how Srila Prabhupada makes the story flow exactly like the verses do. And then when Bhanu Maharaj came out with Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and I was kind of like trying to go through Nectar Devotion and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu to see how they flowed, and it's amazing how he can just weave it all in there and according to the translation of the verses and yet make it flow as if it's some, you know, story. Okay, so here it is. After hearing Rukmini's statement and her clarification of each and every word which he had used to arouse her anger of love toward him, Krishna addressed Rukmini as follows. My dear chaste wife, my dear princess, I was expecting such an explanation from you, and for this purpose only I spoke all those joking words so that you might be cheated of the real point of view. Now my purpose has been served. The wonderful explanation that you have given to each and every word of mine is completely factual and approved by me. Oh, most beautiful Rukmini, you are my dearmost wife, and I am greatly pleased to understand how much love you have for me. Please take it for granted that no matter what ambition and desire you might have, and no matter what you might expect from me, I am always at your service. And it is a fact also that my devotees, my dear mentors, are always free from material contamination, even though they are not inclined to ask from me such liberation. My devotees never desire anything from me except to be engaged in my service. And yet, because they are completely dependent upon me, even if they are found to ask something from me, that is not material. Such ambitions and desires, instead of becoming the cause of material bondage, become the source of liberation from this material world. My dear, chaste, and pious wife, I have tested, on the basis of strict chastity, your love for your husband, and you have passed the examination most successfully. I have purposely agitated you by speaking many words which were not applicable to your character. But I am surprised to see that not a pinch of your devotion to me has been deviated from its fixed vow. From its fixed position, sorry. And then the rest of it goes on to the next verse, verse 53. So it's just I just really appreciate seeing how Srila Prabhupada do those translates, and then at the same time even makes the points a little more clear for all of us. So in that text 49. In 49, Krishna says, everything that you say, I declare as satyam. Satyam, it's true. Everything that you have said about me, satyam, is true. So he's... all of Rukmini's refutations of how that, and she changed the meaning of his words around to prove that actually he has that position, the unbroken position of the Supreme Enjoyer, the Supreme Personality of God, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam. He's the Supreme Controller of everything. No one can take that position. No one's even close to that position. He has that position uniquely and fully, and anyone else who tries to take a position even close to that is certainly Pralambita, a fool. So in 50, I found it very curious that Krishna said, whatever benedictions you hope for in order to become free from material desires are ever yours. So in reading Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment on that verse, he clarified it by going for the word for words. So in that verse it says, Shanti Yekanta Bhaktayas. So he clarified that. Ekanta Bhakta. That Srimati Rukmini Devi, of course, we understand she's the internal potency of the Lord. She's not a material, and this has been spoken about many times on this point, but one more time, Hare Krishna. How not an ordinary conditioned soul and not with material desires. And so Ekanta Bhaktya, she is an exclusive devotee of the Lord. And there's any desire that she would have would be what? Would be for his service. And Prabhupada elaborated on that also in the Krishna book. And when he's talked about how whatever you desire will be fulfilled by me, because I'm always there at your service. And then Prabhupada went on to say, even my devotees, when they have some desire, that desire to serve me is not material. So it might appear to be material, but if it is for the desire to serve the Lord, then it is not material. As Srila Rupa Goswami explains very thoroughly and clearly, that anything used in the service of Krishna becomes spiritualized in its character, because used in the service of Krishna, then it becomes pure. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Adi Lila, chapter 4, Krishnadas Kaviraj, he's clarifying about Lord Chaitanya's innermost, the hidden reasons that Lord Chaitanya appears. And so in that chapter, he explains the difference between kam and prem, the difference between love and lust in chapter 4. So in text 164, he says, kama prema dohankara vibina lakshana lahu are hema yache swarupa vilakshana. So what is the translation is, lust and love have different characteristics, just as iron and gold have different natures. So that's important to understand in relationship to the associates of the Lord, how their activities can, for a mundane person, they might appear mundane, their attachment might appear mundane for the Lord, but their attachment is on the level of praying, of love, pure love. So in the next verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj is clarifying. He might clarify it too, but he clarified it. Atmendriya priti vancha tare bali kam, Krishnendriya priti icha dare prema nam. Atmendriya priti, that's the desire to satisfy one's personal ambitions. Atmendriya priti. But it's totally different from that Krishnendriya priti, the desire that the gopis have or the Lord's pure devotees have to serve him. It's totally different. Further on in that chapter, it's described that kama is like dense darkness and prema is like brilliant sunlight. There's totally two different qualities. And in that verse, in text 165, this same verse that's quoted in the purport is quoted also about, if there's ample reason for the dissolution of a conjugal relationship, and yet such dissolution does not take place, such relationship of intimate love is called pure. So very difficult to find that those relationships here in this material world, but in the spiritual world they are manifested. Manifested by the Lord's personal associates. And as one further and further analyzes the nature, the difference between lust and love, one can see that Actually, that's the goal for the sadhaka also, that one's desires and attachments be transferred to the desire and the attachment to please the spiritual master and to please the Supreme Lord. And gradually, one, through the process of sadhana bhakti, comes to that point where one's material desires, they dissolve practically. They become nil by the process of experiencing the higher taste of devotional service. By experiencing that higher taste of engaging in devotional service, then all of the lesser desires are practically, even in the verse that we said before class, are practically destroyed almost to nil by hearing that pure sound vibration, by engaging in the service of the Lord. But we should understand that, just as interesting, when you look at this story, one might ask why Krishna even teases Rukmini, or why he teases, or we could say tests, his devotees along the way. And he's doing it to actually shine a spotlight on the nature, on the strength of her pure love, to actually bring it out in the open for others like ourselves to actually see the nature. What is that nature of pure love? Because again, as in our position, situated here in this dense, dark material world where everything is based on calm and our personal desire for sense gratification, it's even difficult to actually even understand or conceive of what pure love is. So Krishna, oftentimes in his close associates, he shines the spotlight, or the fire, you could say, the spotlight of bhakti on them, so their qualities are demonstrated for all aspiring personalities who want to not take their position, but at least come to that level of pure love. So that's what the Lord's doing there. Because prema is also compared to gold. So just gold taken from the mine, it's mixed with different things, alloys. There's other alloys in there, perhaps some metal, some dirt, some this and that. And so how does one purify that gold? Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj explains later on in that same chapter that I think it's Prabhupada in the purport. Anyway, it's in that chapter. Prabhupada says you can't purify gold by washing it with soap and water. So that gives us a clue that this process of bhakti yoga, so one purifies gold by putting it in the fire. By putting it in the fire, smelting, the smelting process of, and then all the impurities are dissolved, burned up. So similarly, the little hint is there that in this process of bhakti yoga, one should not be surprised when there's tests put before us. It's not a torture chamber, as there was a little comment earlier in the week. It's not a process of torture, but it's a process of purification, that burning up of the material desires, which are detrimental to our own happiness. We're so silly in that regard, that we're always like a small child trying to go to touch the something that's actually going to give us more pain and distress. But Krishna, he burns up those desires by the sincere aspirant in the process of devotional service. They're put to test. So it might seem a little intimidating at first when you think of that. Oh my gosh, maybe it is going to be a torture chamber. Oh no. But actually the Lord is so kind. He never gives us a test that we are unable to. He gives us the test, and he also gives us the ability to pass the test, the information, the help we need, the association we need, whatever we might need to gather up the strength to continue on in our devotional service, so that our mind and our heart and our desire isn't deviated even an inch from the desire to serve the Lord, even in all difficulties. So if you look throughout the Bhagavatam and the different stories of devotees there, I just picked out three stories. The story of Bali Maharaj, that kind of exemplify or at least bring out this point. So Bali Maharaj, when he was performing his sacrifice, and that darling little brahmachari came in, that little Vamanadeva came into his sacrifice, he was immediately attracted to him and wanted, at that point, just upon seeing him, he wanted to give him everything. But as the circumstances worked out, he got advice from Sukracharya, no, don't give him everything, he's Vishnu, don't even grant him his little desire, because even though you think he only wants to take three steps of lands, he's going to take everything from you. So lo and behold, it did come out to pass that that's exactly what happened. And as he had taken his first two steps and covered the whole upper planetary system and the whole lower planetary system, he had covered everything within the universe, and he felt that he had no place to put his third step, and therefore Bali Maharaj had been untruthful in offering him a benediction, because in two steps he had taken everything. Bali Maharaj said, "Put your foot on my head." Still, the Lord, even though Bali Maharaj considered that his third step, the Lord didn't consider at first that was sufficient. So Bali Maharaj, in the course of offering prayers, he said, "No master has ever treated a servant in this way." You know, no master has ever treated a servant in this way. But still, the glory is there of Bali Maharaj shown there, of his unalloyed devotion to the Supreme Lord. He wasn't, even it was a little difficult at that particular point, slightly. Still, he didn't deviate from his determination to fulfill his promise to the Lord and his determination of his loving attitude towards the Lord. That wasn't shaken at all. So we can get strength and encouragement from hearing stories like that. Then there's the story of Chitraketu. Chitraketu, his story is quite, goes through a couple of lifetimes, but when he received the benediction from Parvat Muni, I think it was, that he was able to have a son. Unfortunately, he wasn't listening really carefully when Parvat Muni said, "Oh, you can have a son, Harshashoka, hopefully you'll be happy." But he just thought, "Oh, my little Harshashoka, he'll just be a little naughty, you know. He'll just, you know, like all kids, they say they'll do one thing and then they don't do it or whatever." So, but he was totally devastated when Harshashoka died untimely at a very young age by poison from the Kowais. He was totally devastated. So that was one type of a test, but, you know, that's not like the test of pure devotion. He wasn't on that level at all at that particular point. So when Narada and Parvat Muni came back to see him in that condition, crying so loudly that they could hear him in wherever they were traveling, they could hear him, his distress. They came to see him. They had the soul enter the body of the young child and said, "You can stay here now. You don't have to leave. You can stay here and enjoy the kingdom of your father," and et cetera, et cetera. "Your parents are really distressed on your leaving." And the little boy sat up and said, "Who are my parents? I've had so many parents. I've had so many parents. I lived in this body as long as I was destined to do, and now I'm going on by the will of the Supreme." So anyway, at that particular point, Chitraketu got some level of spiritual realization, spiritual understanding from Narada and Parvat Muni, and then executed more austerities and continued on making lots of progress in transcendental understanding. So till he got to a point where he was traveling in his airplane as king of the Vidyadharas, and happened to come upon Lord Shiva and Parvati in the assembly of sages. So the thing that was unusual about that situation is that Lord Shiva was sitting there in the assembly of many great renowned sages and ascetics, and there was Parvati sitting on his lap, and he had his hand around her at the same time that he was speaking transcendental knowledge. So Chitraketu was astonished at that display of total renunciation by Lord Shiva, and spoke some words that Parvati took. It disturbed her that it appeared to her that Chitraketu was criticizing the position of Lord Shiva. And so she cursed him. So who are you? You think you're better than Lord Brahma? Lord Brahma hasn't said anything to Lord Shiva about his activities. You think you're better than Brahma? Therefore, because you're acting like a demon, you should take birth in a demon body. So here's the point. Here was Chitraketu. What was Chitraketu's reaction to that? That test, those fiery words of Parvati? His reaction was totally astonishing, no? He immediately got off of his flower airplane and fell and offered his respects in front of Parvati and said, "My dear mother, what I have said is true. But if you have taken offense by what I have said, please, whatever you consider offensive, please let it be forgiven. And I accept the curse. I accept it, no problem, because I understand I'm just being moved about by the actions and reactions of past activities." Actually, I can't remember exactly what he said at that point, but anyway. But so that was another test of the Lord. If we consider for a moment a position similar, okay? Like if we're accused of some falsity, it didn't happen, we didn't do it, this or that. Somebody accuses us of whatever. Would we have a reaction even close to that? It would be very difficult to keep the mind from not being disturbed by those words. And that's one thing, keep the mind not being disturbed. And then have the collective thought to apologize for something we didn't even intend to be offensive and accept whatever, you know. It's just a little indication of tests along the way in the path of our progressive march back home, back to Godhead. Because Krishna will test us. Don't think that he won't. I'm sure you've already experienced many tests in the past, and there's a few more coming down the pike, for sure. And then just one other. But the tests are not for tripping us up or slowing us down. The tests are actually meant for increasing our desire, our determination to make further progress. That's what the test. Don't have the attitude that, why is this happening to me? Krishna's against me. No, Krishna's not partial. He's, you know, in fact, he says, "Ye yatamam prapadyante." As they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So as we're praying daily, please engage me in your service. Again, back to that example, how the dirt in the heart, or the dirt in that's contained in the gold ore, can't be cleansed with water. So Prabhupada says, by the superficial practice of bhakti yoga, by superficial means, one can't cleanse the heart. It has to be deep cleansing. The deep cleansing, that's the cleaner that you choose when you're choosing the cleaners. Deep cleansing. The deep cleansing there, that purifies the heart to what? Bring about the glorious, pure position of the pure spirit soul in relationship to the Lord. And then one other example I thought of, you can go through practically every story in the Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita. I thought of one from Chaitanya Charitamrita when the Lord was giving benedictions to all the devotees, And but he didn't call Mukunda. So they asked, "Well, Lord, where's Mukunda? I don't want to see that person because he acts one way in front of you, and then he goes to another group of people, and he also agrees with them, and he goes to another. He hears from many places. I don't want to see him. Tell him for 10 million births, he's banished from my association." So again, not that we're on that level, but if we could imagine ourselves in a position like that, you know, if we could imagine if that had happened to us, what would our reaction be? But Mukunda, he saw, what did he see? He saw that after 10 million births, I will see Lord Chaitanya. Hari Bol! Let me go through that, and then I'll see Lord Chaitanya. So it's there. So that promise of the Lord is there for us to take comfort in. That the promise of the Lord is that my devotee will never perish. So even though we have yet, we might not consider ourselves to have made much progress in the path of devotional service, still, because we've gotten on that boat, we've gotten on the boat of devotional service by Srila Prabhupada's grace, then that promise is there for each one of us also. You will be successful in your attempts in devotional service. Hari Bol! you, all of us will be, if we stay on the boat, yeah, okay, I can hear, already I hear. But what about if they make a fancy, blah, blah, blah. Okay, whatever. If we stay on the boat, we will be successful in devotional service because the Lord has promised. And not only has the Lord promised, but he made Arjuna promise it. He made Arjuna say it just in case somebody would want to get on his case that says, well, sometimes he breaks his promise. But Krishna always keeps the promises of his devotees. So I think it was in the Adi Purana where he... Wherever it was that he has, Arjuna declared to boldly that his devotees will never perish. So, back to this story of Rukmini. So Krishna, you could say, he teased Rukmini, he tested Rukmini, and he was pleased by Rukmini's response. And therefore, he's, again, showing the spotlight of of her pure love for the Lord so that we can see how to aspire for that similar fixity of purpose. Hare Krishna. Comments or questions or corrections? Mukunda, Hare Krishna.
So there's a very nice mystery about the verse that's quoted in the purport, the Sarvatadvang Sarahitam Yajapi Dong Shakarane verse, is actually written by Rupa Goswami and Ujjal Nilamani.
Yeah.
So this verse was originally intended to glorify the gopis' love for Krishna. And Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, he put it in this description only to describe what was the nature of pure love. Because the contents of the verse is not as applicable to the queens in Dwarka because there's no question that their love will be broken because they're married and there was no divorce at that time. So by Dharma, they would never have to break their connection. So he used this to glorify how gopis actually were the ones who have this because they have no actual legal, so to speak, connection. Therefore, in spite of the fact that Krishna left after so many dealings with them, everything, still their love, rather than being broken, actually increased. Yad bhava bandhano, you know, their love actually increased. So this was a way to glorify them, but he used this in the example to describe what is pure prem in this verse, but not as applicable to queens. There's three kinds of love, like Kubja's love is called Saradharani Rati, means that she loves Krishna because she has desire, Krishna is just the object of that. And the queens, their love is called samanjasa, because though they love Krishna so much, still they each have 10 sons and one daughter also to love. Hmm. And the gopis, their love is called samartarati, because their love has no conditions whatsoever. They're not even married. Therefore, they have to go against all social convention. It is not easy for them to have it. They also have to keep it hidden. So many things. In spite of all of that, their love increases and never breaks.
Hmm.
And this was the mystery of this verse.
Thanks for bringing that up. In that section of Adi Lila, chapter 4, starts like 165, goes to 188. That's what I was reading from. Prabhupada actually says in the purport, when he talks about how the gopis gave up everything, all social connections, this, that, dharma, Vedic injunctions, they gave up everything. And Prabhupada said, we actually also have to come to that point that we're even willing to transgress the Vedic injunctions. Now, don't take that as the essence of this class, okay? But still, yeah, Hare Krishna. Anything else, Janmasthami Prabhu?
I just wanted a clarification. When you were reading from Krishna book, Prabhupada said something like that the devotee doesn't ask to get his material desires removed. Was that it?
Yeah, that's what he said. He said about liberation. They don't ask for liberation either, but it happens automatically.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I lost the page.
One understanding that I have from Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that it's not against pure devotional service to desire to advance.
Yeah, but that's not a material desire.
Right.
Excuse me.
Right. So to be freed from material desire is also desiring to advance in Krishna consciousness. I'm just trying to understand, you know, that point that Prabhupada made. The whole process of anartha nivritti, you know, the way we cry to the holy name to free us from this blockage, you know, mm-hmm. through our love for Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments?
No, because, well, yes, okay. So sometimes we take one statement out and we think that that's, you know, there's more aspects to it. It's like a crystal, you know. It's not, you know, so Krishna's saying there to Rukmini, or this is Prabhupada's, that Krishna book is Prabhupada's, how he extracted the nectar from those verses. How a devotee doesn't pray for fulfillment of material desires, but even so they're fulfilled by Krishna's arrangement. So that's one particular point that he's making there, but it doesn't mean it's the one and only point.
It's not. He's not praying for fulfillment of material desires, but for the material desires to be removed, right? Isn't that what Prabhupada said? I'm confused. That's why I'm asking the question, because I wasn't quite clear on what that point was. But it seemed,
He said, please take it for granted that no matter what ambition and desire you might have, and no matter what you might expect from me, I am always at your service. And it is a fact also that my devotees, my dear most friends and servitors, are always free from material contamination, even though they are not inclined to ask from me such liberation. My devotees never desire anything from me except to be engaged in my service. And yet, because they are completely dependent upon me, even if they are found to ask something from me, that is not material. Such ambitions and desires, instead of becoming the cause of material bondage, become the source of liberation from this material world. Thanks. Okay. Ragatmika Prabhu?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I spoke these joking words to you so that you might be cheated from the real point of view. So Krishna was, that's how the word Prabhupada used. He was teasing her. He was teasing Rukmini by saying, now you can go choose another person. But, you know, cheating.
Cheating from his real intention.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, you highlighted that word, pralambita. It means fool. But yes. In the translation, the word fool didn't come up. Was
gosh, you guys are so funny. Yeah, it says Raja. That's it. Said Raja. That's text 49. Raja Putra Pralambita, yeah. Fooled. O princess, fooled. We deceived you, so we fooled you.
Okay, that's how it is.
Only because we
a
wanted to hear you speak
of a noun.
Like this.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
All righty.
Gracias.
Thank you. Oh, Janmasmi wants the final word, and he's going to get it. Thank you. He thought of one more thing. Thank you, Madame Mohan.
It seems that one could say that there are twofold purposes in Krishna enacting such pastimes like this. One, to spotlight the devotion of the prem, so that that we can see it and aspire for that. But also, isn't it to just deepen the prem, you know, between himself and his...
And there's more than that, too, I'm sure, when you think about it, you know? Yeah, Krishna accomplishes many things with one action. So it's to deepen the prema, it's to relish the ras between them. So many things are there.
One thing that, one real prominent quote from the 11th canto, 2nd chapter, 47th verse, this is quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's commentary. The spotlighting really like resonated with that, and that in this this is the description of the Kanishtha Vaishnava, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is paraphrased, but it's attributed to him by Gopi Prandhanta. He says that after many lifetimes of worshiping the deity on the external platform, offering articles on the external platform, that's how it's worded, one finally begins to understand the transcendental nature of Nam. And then he begins to understand, so that's the next step. Then he begins to understand the workings of the mind of a genuine devotee. This seems to be like a real crucial aspect, a role that Bhagavatam plays in this development, to understand the workings of the mind of a genuine devotee. Anyway,
even though they can't be understood very easily, to say the least. Madame Mohan?
One of the ideas that kind of came out to me that was a little strange was, I think it was yesterday or the day before the bag class, you know, how she pointed out how these bodies, but it wasn't just for her, that's also for us, that we have families, so to speak, that are baglets, baguettes, you know, the different different ones. So following that line of thought, the whole world turns into, it empties out, because there isn't anybody that has qualities. So by her exalting Krishna's qualities, he says, if you're not attracted to these qualities, but you haven't heard these qualities, but the women who haven't heard these qualities are attracted. But for us, we're hearing these qualities, so in retrospect, everybody else is going to, it's going to develop in us too. It's just being said kind of like to the side, but the effect is still going to be there, that there isn't anything here. We're in a world of matter. So that was one. It seemed like it was preliminary Vipalamba Seva installment on that.
Little by little. Thank you. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.